بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 3rd of October in the year 2020 and الحمد لله I spent the session last night discussing the glorious city of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing I mentioned was the blessed garden of paradise, in which there are truly incredible treasures. One of which is the mihrab of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second, which I mentioned, was the pillar of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And the third, which I should have mentioned yesterday, was the weeping trunk, the pillar of the weeping trunk. And this is the famous hadith in which our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, before the pulpit was made for him, when he would deliver a sermon, he'd be resting against this trunk. But when the pulpit was made, he moved away and this blessed trunk started to weep. And that trunk, the Prophet comforted sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, if I had not comforted it, it would have wept al-qiyamah. This is in Abu Ya'la. And then, now there's a pillar there called the Pillar of the Weeping Trunk. That was also in the Garden of Paradise. So note, a garden from Paradise in every sense of the word. With regards to the blessed graveyard in Al-Madinah Jannat al-Baqi, there's a very interesting report mentioned by Mufti Muhammad Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh. He relates in Malfuzat, Faqih al-Ummah, volume 6, page 108. A majzoob, i.e. a saint lost in spiritual intoxication, used to be seated at the door of Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stop in the report. So a majzoob is a saint in the lower ranks, but he does the zikr and he's in love of Allah the Almighty to such an extent he loses his senses. So he would sit at the gate, at the door of Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day the body of a deceased person was brought to the masjid. When the majzoob saw it, he burst into tears. However, as the body was carried to the masjid, into the masjid, he suddenly thereupon burst into laughter. Then after the funeral prayer, when the body was carried out of the masjid, he again burst into tears. Then when the people finally carried it to the graveyard to bury it, the majzoob again burst into laughter. Let's open the report. So obviously he's in a spiritual intoxication, but he did four things that confused the people. The first is when the dead body was being carried to the masjid, he burst into tears. When the dead body entered the masjid, he burst into laughter. When the dead body was taken out of the masjid, he again burst into tears. And then, when he was being carried to the graveyard to bury, he burst into laughter. The majzoob rahmatullah alayh thereupon said to the surprised onlookers, when I saw the body being brought, I to Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I noticed the angels of punishment accompanying it. Those feelings of mercy overpowered me and I burst into tears. So this is the clarification of why he burst into tears, because he saw the angels of punishment, meaning the person was not successful. However, when the body was taken into Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I noticed that the angels of punishment remained outside. Thus, I now burst into laughter. So stop in the quote. So this quote, this is the reason why he laughed, because he saw the angels of punishment due to the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabi that if he didn't enter. The Shaykh then said, then when the body was brought out of the masjid, the angels alayhi salatu wasalam of punishment once again accompanied it. Thus I burst into tears once again. So they waited only till the body was taken out, then they accompanied it because I burst into tears. However, when it was lowered into the grave, it happened to be the grave of a companion, radiallahu anhu, who said to the angels of punishment, alayhi salatu wasalam, what are you saying to it? This is my guest. Upon this, the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, left, i.e. and this was the cause of my laughter. So simply put, this was something from the unseen world which manifested to one of the friends of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what can we take from it? The first thing we take from it is the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. that the angels of punishment did not enter Masjid al-Nabi. So note again what a sanctuary it is. I mentioned many moons ago that Dajjal cannot enter the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is mentioned in the Sahih, meaning that evil is, one is protected from evil greatly in the holy city. The second thing we can take is that the angels of punishment had to fulfill their duty. So when the body was taken out, they realigned themselves with the body, meaning that he was in trouble. But because he was being buried in Jannat al-Baqi, fortunately, his grave was the grave of a Sahaba. And the Sahaba whose grave it was, radiallahu anhu, he said to the angels, what are you saying to it? This is my guest. And upon this, the angels left, because this caused my laughter. So now, Jannat al-Baqi, how many companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, have graced that graveyard? It is sufficient to relate that the Honorable Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh said of this most blessed graveyard, around 10,000 companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Around 10,000 companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. This is recorded in Tartib al-Madarik wa Taqrib al-Masalik. So Imam Malik, who knew every inch of that holy city, he simply said that the numbers are around 10,000. So around 10,000 noble companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. So why is this incredible? So first of all, what is famously known is that most of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are not buried in Makkah and Al-Madinah. But you can misunderstand from that, that this means that there's very few companions buried in Makkah and Madinah. But that's not true. There was roughly 120,000 companions, radiallahu ta'ala. 10,000 or so are buried in Baqi. Now, why is it an honor to be buried in Baqi? First of all, a dua of our beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Muslim, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would regularly go there and make the dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the inhabitants of Baqi al-Gharqad. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the inhabitants of Baqi al-Gharqad. Now think about that. That's a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But was that only for the Sahaba? The answer is no. Because he didn't say the companions, he said the inhabitants. Anybody who is buried in Jannat al-Baqi, forgive them. And this is an authentic dua which the Prophet would make regularly when he would leave or about to leave the blessed graveyard. So 10,000 companions are also buried there around, radiallahu. And this is leaving aside the Tabi'een and all the great personalities. And this is why, in a very famous report in Darimi and Mishkat, Daylami and Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from Jannat al-Baqi, 70,000 of them will enter paradise without reckoning. And they will also in deceit for another 70,000. So 4,900 million, if you take it literally, will enter paradise without reckoning. Because they are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. So note the sanctity of that graveyard, i.e. that is something very dear to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in another report, in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I shall be the first for whom the grave will be opened. And then of course Abu Bakr and Umar. And then he said, Jannat al-Baqi will be the next. And then the people of Makkah. So even before Makkah rises, the people of Baqi will rise, according to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So subhanallah, such is the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannat al-Baqi and the Majestic Companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In a report in Ibn Adi, our beloved messenger mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a righteous soul will intercede for 10 of his neighbors, i.e. in the grave. Another report mentions 40. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was highlighting that it is an extreme good fortune to be buried next to a righteous person. So in Jannat al-Baqi, there's around 10,000 sahaba. So if you're buried there, you know, only got one righteous neighbor, you lose count. So leaving that to one side, you've got the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've got these righteous neighbors. So going back to this report, the saintly soul, what did he see? He saw a sahaba say to the angels, what are you saying to it? This is my guest. Mm-hmm. Meaning that he is my neighbor. In fact, he's buried within my chamber. Upon this, the angels left. Meaning they allowed that, the intercession. And of course, what then of the status of the two sheikhs who were buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Again, many lessons we can take from this. How true therefore were the words of our exalted Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said in Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22 verse 28, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليشهدوا منافع لهم that they may witness see things that benefit them ليشهدوا منافع لهم that they may witness see things that benefit them. So here the maqsad is given. Allah the Almighty and Glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions why you perform the Hajj. So you will see and witness things that will benefit you. If you ask Muslims that question, most will give you their own bayan. Why do you go to Hajj? It's a farad. I didn't say, what's the hukum? I said, why do you go to Hajj? Which person would say, because we will witness things that benefit us. But then if he responds, but I didn't see anything that benefited me. There's no maqsad. You didn't prepare. In fact, you're in danger of losing your iman. Because you might have done something like I mentioned yesterday, untoward in the holy cities. Finally, with regards to the off-post question, should we perform the most austere pilgrimage possible? So some people have this intention that they'll go, they'll be like, do a very simple Hajj. Then the words of Imam Ghazali are sufficient, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, in his Ihya, in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 115 to 116 of the English translation, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, someone who is busy providing food and drink to the camel on his way to pilgrimage, then obviously has not therewith abandoned his pilgrimage. Similarly, on the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your body should be just like your camel on the way to pilgrimage. Your goal is thus not to provide comfort for your camel as such, but it is limit warding off what is injurious to the camel, that it may then take you safely to your destination. By the same token, you must safeguard your body against injurious hunger and thirst with both food and drink, and also against injurious heat and cold with both clothing and shelter. Thus, limit yourself to need, and do not aim for gratification, but for taqwa, i.e. godliness. So this is the quote from Imam Ghazali rahmatullah. So what are the key points he mentioned? So the first thing he mentioned, which is analogy, he said if somebody is busy getting food and drink for his camel because he's going to use that camel to go to Hajj, then does that mean he's doing something foolish? No, because this is actually part of the pilgrimage. He goes, similarly, your own body is like that. You should be like your camel on the way to pilgrimage, meaning you look after yourself. Then he said, however, your goal is not to provide comfort for your camel, but it is limited to warding off what is injurious to the camel, that it may take you safely to your destination. So he goes, but getting comforts, that is where something is going wrong now. Because you need to look after yourself, make sure the Hajj is done, But to overindulge, he goes, then there's something wrong. And then he says, limit yourself to need. Do not aim for gratification, but for taqwa. The Honorable Imam Hujjat al-Islam rahmatullah alayh was elucidating upon the fact that we should not waste our precious time upon so-called unnecessary necessities, i.e. going overboard with food, drink and shelter, but rather focus upon our true objective, the priceless pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereby returning with the forgiveness of our many sins. This is the maqsad. So note, Imam Ghazali gave you the answer to this. If a person goes, I'm going to do the most austere hajj possible, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that you don't overindulge in unnecessary comforts. But no, in the sense you need to eat and drink and you need shelter. Otherwise, you'll harm yourself. So note the balance in our glorious deen which the Imam was referring to. And of course, you should be guarding against riya. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiallahu anhu, said that his camel or his beast of burden during the hajj, and he mentioned the bridle, because it wasn't worth much. And the Prophet himself was saying, make this pilgrimage one without riya. Oh my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this pilgrimage one without riya. Now think about that. Is it possible for the Holy Prophet to fall into riya? No. So what was he really making that dua for? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning, be guard yourself even in this. And this is why one of the signs of the hour, in Kanzul Omar, the report mentions that one of the signs of the hour is that people will go to Hajj as for treating it as a holiday. And the rich would go to compete. People ask questions, how many Hajjs have you done? What's the point of asking that question? Apart from the fact you want to compete. And secondly, is there a holiday? Right? So note, these are signs of the hour, meaning that you're not preparing for the Hajj as you ought to prepare for it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding. So what I mentioned in this short section was basically a few things with regards to the holy city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. the sanctuary of the masjid and also Jannat al-Baqi. And then of course, the maqsad of the Hajj, i.e. that we witness things that benefit us. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa bi ilahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim al asl in insan lafi khusr lil ladina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sadaqallahu al azim.